Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Class Misrepresentation and Proof of Materiality Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 5, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Amgen Incorporated versus Connecticut Retirement Plans and Trust Funds. The question in this case is whether, in misrepresentation cases under SEC Rule 10b-5, plaintiffs asserting a fraud on the market theory must prove materiality before they can proceed with a class action, and whether the defendants are permitted to present evidence rebutting a fraud on the market theory at the class certification stage. To discuss the case, we have John Chu, a securities litigator in Newport Beach, California. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Chu.
Hello, folks, and welcome to SCOTUS Cast. Today's case is Amgen, Inc. versus Connecticut Retirement Plans and Trust Funds. Amgen is a publicly traded biopharmaceutical company based in Thousand Oaks, California. It is the defendant petitioner. Connecticut Retirement consists of 6 pension and 8 trust funds, comprising the retirement funds for about 190,000 teachers, state, and municipal employees, as well as academic programs, grants, and initiatives in the state of Connecticut. It is the plaintiff respondent. The case is from the Ninth Circuit. The Supreme Court heard oral argument on November 5, 2012. Justice Breyer recused himself regarding the certiorari petition, but not for the oral argument. The court heard 2 issues. First, with respect to Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 10b-5 misrepresentation cases, whether the district court must require proof of materiality before certifying a plaintiff class based on the fraud on the market theory. And second, whether the district court must allow the defendant to present evidence rebutting the applicability of the fraud on the market theory before certifying a plaintiff class based on that particular theory. Amgen obtained FDA approval for anti-anemia drugs Aranesp and Epogen. These drugs stimulate production of red blood cells and reduce the need for blood transfusions in anemic patients. Connecticut Retirement, which owned Amgen stock as part of its portfolio, claimed that Amgen exaggerated the safety of its products and misrepresented its marketing practice because Amgen claimed it promoted those drugs solely for on-label uses when, in fact, it also promoted them for off-label uses. Amgen stock had declined about 9% for the time period in question, April 22, 2004 through May 10, 2007, and thus Connecticut Retirement sought to certify a class of anyone who purchased Amgen stock during that time period. The fraud on the market theory is a securities fraud liability theory, which says that when a defendant, such as Amgen, makes a material representation about a security traded in the open market, which adversely affects the price of that security, the court will presume that a plaintiff class which purchased that security and suffered a loss relied on that misstatement. It is not the only securities fraud liability theory, but it is commonly used. To certify a class under Rule 23 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, a plaintiff must show that there are questions of law or fact common to the class and that these questions predominate over questions affecting only individual members. All publicly traded companies fear securities fraud class action lawsuits because losing or even settling such suits can run into the hundreds of millions of dollars. Amgen opposed the class certification with a novel argument, not just that the misrepresentations did not have any impact on the price of Amgen stock, but also that a plaintiff must prove, not just plausibly allege, that the misrepresentations were material in order to certify a class. Amgen also argued that it should have been allowed to present evidence rebutting the applicability of the securities fraud theory before the district court certified the class, rather than waiting until summary judgment or trial. The district court rejected Amgen's arguments and granted the class certification. The Ninth Circuit affirmed. In some ways, this case might be seen as following Walmart Stores, Inc. versus Dukes, an employment law class action where the court signaled that class certification may require, quote, a preliminary inquiry into the merits of a suit, unquote, and used examples of the fraud on the market theory. During oral argument, Amgen emphasized that class actions should not be certified if the plaintiff fails to show that all the prerequisites are satisfied, and that the prerequisites cannot be satisfied if the immateriality of a defendant's statements precludes the application of the fraud on the market theory. Connecticut Retirement emphasized that the materiality of a defendant's misstatement is necessarily an issue common to the entire class and therefore appropriately argued on the merits after the class is certified. Interestingly, Amgen claimed that the materiality determination for class certification differed from the materiality determination for summary judgment or trial. Connecticut Retirement said that requiring materiality to be demonstrated at the class certification stage would result in, quote, a mini-trial, unquote, on the merits, something which the court should avoid. Connecticut Retirement also asserted that when Congress enacted the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, commonly known as the PSLRA, it declined to specifically address the issues of market efficiency and materiality, and instead enacted higher pleading standards for other elements. Connecticut Retirement also showed that the number of securities fraud class actions have declined since the PSLRA became law. The United States argued as amicus, supporting the plaintiff respondent's position that plaintiffs using the fraud on the market theory need not demonstrate materiality at the class certification stage. The government strongly argued that class certification is not about certifying only meritorious cases, and that courts, quote, certify class actions that are both meritorious and those that are not, unquote, so that the merits of the case are able to reach binding judgment. This case is very important for securities fraud class actions because a ruling in favor of Amgen would make the process of class certification much more complicated and costly for plaintiffs, defendants, and the courts. Class certification would require a trial before the trial regarding the materiality of misstatements. A favorable ruling to Amgen would also likely reduce the number of securities class actions actually certified, but would also cause future class actions to be even more dangerous to defendants than they are now. Finally, defendants and the courts might face hundreds, if not thousands, of smaller suits regarding the same misstatement instead of a single large one. Court watchers expect a ruling sometime in the spring of 2013. We'll keep you posted here on SCOTUSCast. In the meantime, I'm John Chu, wishing you happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.